Welcome back to Brief and Not So Brief. I'm Seth.
I'm Ethan.
And this time we're going to be talking about old man action movies. So we're back to doing brief reviews, and this time we're going to be talking about four films that I feel are kind of emblematic of the whole old man action movie thing. And by old man action, what do we mean?
I mean, you're kind of talking exactly what the title represents, where the main character is an old man who kicks butt and has kind of the, I guess you could say, like, video game, unlimited health, unlimited headshot, you know, depending on what we were talking about. But
auto-aiming.
Kind of just the, I will do everything possible in any action movie all by myself,
right?
No question about it. I mean, the first time I saw a movie like this was like Commando. You know, where like he just threw a grenade and halfway across the
right.
the map, which boom,
gigantic gasoline explosion. Yeah. He was in his prime at that point, though.
Yeah.
And so the point about old man action movies is these are all guys who are older than me.
Yeah, for sure.
And or at least at the time that they're filming it. And I think probably their character ages are older than I am as well. I'm 46.
Well, usually what happens is the actor ends up being older than they actually are. So, you know, maybe there's a little bit of a discrepancy there. But usually that only happens when like 28-year-olds are acting as 12-year-olds, you know, in teenage movies.
right. 21 Jump Street.
Yeah. But no, but like actually like Zac Efron doing a teenager. That's what I mean.
Yeah.
But
I know what you mean. Which movies are we going to talk about?
Well, I actually am only under the impression of a couple, so I know we're doing John Wick and Jack Reacher.
Yes.
What are the other ones that we're talking?
Taken.
Right, Taken, of course.
And The Equalizer.
Those are good ones.
And I will say up front, these are all four movies that I've enjoyed.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So they all have sequels. Well, not all of them, but Taken has sequels. Equalizer has sequels.
Yeah, they all.
Oh, they do. Yeah, they do have sequels. Yeah, I forgot that Jack Reacher because I heard that second one was awful. So.
We're not really going to consider the sequels. We might mention them in passing, but
yeah.
And we're not going to go in super depth on these, right? This is a brief reviews thing. So we're just going to kind of talk about some vital statistics about them, anything we like, you know, and then maybe rank them at the end.
Mm-hmm.
So, I figured we should just go in date order.
Yeah. Okay. Like and release order.
Yeah. And so the first one there is Taken, from 2009, directed by Luc Besson, and it's PG-13, which is interesting.
Is that the only PG-13 one out of them, or is Jack Reacher PG-13 as well?
Jack Reacher is as well.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, I think that Taken kind of started the trend of action movies.
Yeah.
At least the old man variety or the kind of guy has a background with some, you know, Navy SEAL, you know, Marine, anything like that, and then ends up having to do something kind of unrealistic and extraordinary to save someone or something. I think it kind of started that trend, which it got off to a good start. I think this movie is great.
I think it's good.
Maybe not great, but
we watched it recently. I'm like, I'm not sure this totally holds up just in terms of the way the action is shot.
Well, yeah, because if you look at then and now, I mean, we're going to talk about John Wick soon.
Right.
That's like the exact opposite of how action is filmed.
Yeah.
Which, obviously, I think most people prefer the long shot style.
Mm-hmm.
But back then, the fast shot can also have its perks. Because it kind of displays the fast, claustrophobic feel of that movie.
Yeah.
Because all the action scenes take place, like, there's a cruise ship, there's, like, a tiny room where he kills, like, 12 guys.
I like that.
And so, it's always super small. Mm-hmm. There's some cool stuff that they do. Obviously, it doesn't hold up, like you said, maybe not to closer inspection of what there is now.
Yeah,
it's still solid, though.
It's still awesome.
Yeah.
You know,
in
a lot of ways. I mean, it's got that scene in it that's a meme at this point, right? You know, I have a particular set of skills.
Mm-hmm.
I will find you, and I will kill you. And my Liam Neeson impression is not with me at the moment. But, it's an influential movie in a lot of ways. Because now it seems like any aging male action star, and even like, what was that one with Jennifer Garner? You know, that was kind of a cinnamon? No.
Huh?
Okay, hang on. Peppermint, not cinnamon.
Oh, I know what you're talking about.
We didn't see it, and it may have been terrible, but like, you know, she's not somebody who's super young anymore, and yet she's doing this kind of movie, which I think is cool. It's just, I don't think that movie was very good. I don't think it was very well received. I mean, it's three out of five stars on when I Google it here.
It's like a 60% probably.
6.5 on IMDb. It's probably enjoyable.
Yeah.
But we're talking about old man action movies here because we're dudes. So, yeah, Taken. Any favorite scenes in that one?
I mentioned the couple of action scenes that occur. I mean, you can't not say the the famous, you know, I will kill you scene, you know, the phone call.
Yeah.
But, I mean, I don't want to mention that just because everyone knows about that scene. I think that the scene in when he finds them for the first time, where he's like,
yes,
do you know I was coming for you? Mm-hmm. Where he asks him to translate the words. And I like that because there's that one part where he's like laying underneath a guy. Mm-hmm. Who? So they're looking around in the room. They think everyone's dead, mm-hmm. and then shoots them all because he's like underneath them. I think that's pretty cool.
Yeah, he's using intelligence. Yeah, right? not just the fact that he's 6'4" and
yeah,
you know,
huge,
skilled. Yeah,
yeah, for sure. I think that especially the gunplay and the action is done pretty well, mm-hmm. even though it's shot differently and you know,
yeah,
like we mentioned, not the same as is now. I think it's still mm-hmm. entertaining.
Yeah, I think the scene when he gets on the boat at the end is pretty awesome.
Oh yeah, for sure. And I think the nice thing is that it's an action movie that you had some emotional, it had some emotional gravity in it.
Yeah.
Because you felt for him. In most movies nowadays, it's harder to get some emotional attachment, especially mm-hmm. when people realize, oh, or directors and writers say, oh, we can make an action movie and get a lot of money, mm-hmm. but the hard part is getting some emotion behind it, which I feel like right. is a little bit more rare these days, which mm-hmm. is nice to see that that's been continuing a little bit.
Yeah. So a couple of vital statistics about it. One thing that I like about it, it's only 93 minutes. So short, it's not a super long movie. The budget for it was $25 million. It had $145 million domestic gross, which is very good.
Yeah,
for sure. For a $25 million budget. So that's cool. Tomato meter is interesting on this one because critic score is 58%. Audience score is 85%. So it's this nice mm-hmm. Symmetrical
yeah, for sure.
score. And I mean, to me, I can look at it and I'm like, yeah, okay, I can see why the critic score wasn't great on it, mm-hmm. but why the audience was like, this is awesome. Liam mm-hmm. Neeson gets more awesome as he gets older.
Yeah, for sure. Alrighty. Anything else we need to say about Taken?
No. Nope.
Kind of the starter of this action movie revolution,
don't I think guess so.
You could say.
So you could make an argument that any Tom Cruise movie since like 2000 is an old man action movie.
And you could also make an argument that most of those movies are really good.
I've seen more of them than you have. So
you have, but like some of the movies that weren't supposed to be good, mm-hmm. Edge of Tomorrow, right. American Made,
yeah,
which was supposedly really good. I didn't get to see it.
We haven't seen that one.
But it's pretty well received. And, you know, there's some other stuff that I haven't seen, you know, the ins and outs of Tom Cruise, just because some of them just, you know, are a little bit older. And mm-hmm. so I've seen a variety, but not a whole inclusive.
So this one came out in 2012. It was also PG-13 and directed by Christopher McQuarrie, who has been doing the recent Mission Impossible ones.
Yeah.
And Christopher McQuarrie does some good work.
No, and he's working well with Tom Cruise. I think that's probably one of the reasons he took on the Mission Impossible. Mm-hmm.
There's no way this movie should have been good.
Oh, yeah.
Because, like, my dad was a big fan of the Jack Reacher novels. Mm-hmm. And Jack Reacher in the novels is this hulking former MP, right? Mm-hmm. Former military police guy. So Tom Cruise, like, he's like a foot shorter than he needs to be for this mm-hmm. role, if you're going to go, you know, strictly by the book. And I'm not that kind of guy who's like, oh, it's not right because this character is supposed to be blonde and now he's got red hair. And like, I don't care about any of that. But I was surprised at how much I really liked this one.
No, because it takes a more thriller mm-hmm. route to this, which my favorite genre of movie is a thriller.
Yeah.
And so there's some great scenes where mm-hmm. it's a lot of Tom Cruise escaping things.
Yes.
But in epic ways, mm-hmm. you know. I think that it's interesting because Jack Reacher is kind of like a mysterious guy in the movie.
Yeah.
People know about him, but then, like, when he comes in the office for the first time, they're like, oh, goodness. You know, like, it's, like, shocking. And so it definitely plays more off of you don't really know the background. You only hear it through, like, stories.
Yeah.
Which I think is an interesting way to tell it. And then it's, like, a whole investigation of the murder, right? I can't remember exactly what it is.
Yeah, there's, like, a sniping scene at the very beginning, which is directed brilliantly. Mm-hmm. It's really, really well done.
Yeah.
This is one of the few movies that Jai Courtney's been in that I'm like, that guy was really good in this.
And
There's more of a kind of mystery element to this one. Like what exactly happened there? Why were they doing this? What were they mm-hmm. trying to do?
And I think the nice thing is that it gives you just enough information at each, like, you learn basically just as much as Tom Cruise's character does at this, instead of it having to be like, oh, we're going to learn more information from these two people who are talking mm-hmm. at a different place. You kind of learn it along with them, which kind of allows you to solve the mystery along with them and be more invested in the film.
Mm-hmm. So this one, is 130 minutes long, you know, more than 2 hours. And it does kind of feel its length in places. Mm-hmm. I feel like it's maybe a little too long. $60 million budget, only did $80 million domestically. Mm-hmm. It did okay overseas. It did $138 million overseas. So, you know, that's
God's money worth.
Yeah, it's fine, but it was not a hit here.
Mm-hmm.
63% tomato meter from critics and 67 from audiences. So kind of this.
If you're consistent with the audience and the tomato, I mean, mm-hmm. excuse me, the audience and the critics,
yeah.
it means it's probably pretty solid. And once yeah. you get like above 60, I feel like you're in pretty safe territory or
yeah.
At least solid territory when it comes to
yeah.
most movies.
To me, the standout scene, honestly, that first scene, the way it's directed by McQuarrie is really, really good. Mm-hmm. And then I like the bar fight scene.
The insults he grabs and just yeah. kind of. Yeah, no, I do like that when he kind of goes outside. And then I've actually watched it a couple times recently where yeah. he says, like, hey, you wanted this.
You wanted this.
And then just destroys them.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah, fight's super dirty. I love mm-hmm. that. But and Werner Herzog's in it, and I always like him. He's mm-hmm. he's actually a film director. We should watch a couple of his because he's got some good movies. Yeah, not much else to say about that one.
Yeah.
Other than it was surprisingly good, mm-hmm. surprisingly enjoyable.
Yeah.
And pretty rewatchable, actually. All right, so moving on. We had two that were only released a month apart, and it was The Equalizer and John Wick. Which one do you think came first?
I'm assuming that... Oh, crap. Equalizer?
Equalizer did come out first. Did we go see it in the theater?
I did not see it in the theater.
I think I did.
Dad, at that point, I hadn't seen very many R-rated movies.
Right. Yeah, because this is 2014, and...
Yeah, I was only like 13.
Yeah, so. I guess that's about right. I feel like I did see it in the theater.
No, I know you did. I'm really sure you did.
Yeah, that might have been one I saw with your Uncle Ed.
Because you saw it with Uncle Ed, and you mm-hmm. came back, and you're like, hey, that was kind of awesome.
Yeah.
I like Denzel.
Yeah, and this was Denzel Washington. This one's rated R for violence.
There's some epic stuff that he does.
There is. It's directed by Antoine Fuqua, who has some interesting films, actually. I'd kind of like to explore his filmography a little more. The runtime in this one's 128 minutes. It's a little long as well.
I feel like 2 hours is to the point where if you are right, it's good. But if it's it can drag.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like the like ideal runtime for movies is like 1 hour and 50 minutes, 1 hour and 45. I feel like that works really well most of the time.
This one though, I feel like it kind of establishes the character, right? And mm-hmm. and it has a couple side things where he's training this guy who works at the Home Depot with him, you know, to become like a security guard or something. Mm-hmm. So that's kind of a little side character piece, which I like.
Mm-hmm.
The $55 million budget made $100 million domestically, $90 million.
That's solid.
It's okay. It's not fantastic.
Yeah,
right? 'Cause solid. You need to make like 2.5 times your budget back to be successful. But it did get a sequel, you know, and probably some of that is Denzel's star power.
I think, yeah. I mean...
The tomato meter, 60%, 76%.
Those are solid ratings.
Yeah. I mean, audiences enjoyed it more than critics.
Yeah.
And it's not a fantastic movie, but...
it's enjoyable.
Yeah, it is enjoyable.
I would totally watch it again.
the whole... I mean, the warehouse scene is awesome. And I like Teddy, the bad guy, mm-hmm. played by the guy who played whatever his name is. Tell me where is Gandalf, for I much desire to speak mm-hmm. with him. That guy from Lord of the Rings, Celeborn. Yeah, that whole warehouse scene.
He's very imposing. You point out to me the first scene where he like goes, he has a meeting with a guy and beats the snot out of him.
Yeah.
And someone that I didn't know who was in this movie until we started watching was David Harbour, mm-hmm. which he's hilarious.
Yeah.
He says the most F-bombs
he does
ever. It's so funny.
Yes, it would be R-rated just for his dialogue.
Yeah, it's like, whoa.
Yeah.
He says that like countless times, but it's... It is pretty funny.
It's funny because The Equalizer was a show that I watched when I was a kid. So that's kind of why I wanted to see the movie.
Yeah.
So I wanted to see a different take on it. But yeah, enjoyable.
Mm-hmm.
Move on to John Wick.
Yes, please.
Yeah, so John Wick also came out in 2014, like a month after The Equalizer. Mm-hmm. And I feel like in some ways, it's kind of like when the summer that Speed came out, like all other action movies that had come out that summer... I remember hearing Roger Ebert say, this is the kind of movie that, you know, talking about another one, that Speed has now made obsolete. It's kind of like when Die Hard came out and everybody's like, wow, all the other action movies suck compared mm-hmm. to Die Hard. And well, John Wick is kind of one of those.
Yeah, films. I think the thing is people say like, oh, well, they copied each other. They can't really because when they're in production, the production goes on way before the movies are released.
Yeah.
So they might have been making movies at the similar times,
mm-hmm.
but, you know, they're not based off of each other. I think it's just, unfortunately, a coincidence that an action movie had to come out after one and kind of blow it out of the water.
and to me, I'm like, Equalizer and John Wick are very different movies.
Oh, yeah.
Because you see the way the confrontation works at the end in The Equalizer, where he's improvising his traps that he lays in the warehouse. And it's really, really cool. Mm-hmm. It's kind of MacGyver-y. But John Wick is much more like a Hong Kong style mm-hmm. action movie. And, some of the vital stuff. Directed by Chad Stahelski? I don't know that name. That's fine.
Who cares?
Epic
movie.
It's rated R. It's also got a pretty brief running time, only 96 minutes. Mm-hmm. And so it feels
And it fast. Moves by fast,
it
too.
It does, yeah.
It does not stop.
So it only had a $20 million budget, but the domestic was only $43 million, and foreign gross on it was only $45 million. I think it got a life of its own on home video.
No, it's because people started realizing that the movie was good, and people started talking about it, and it got really popular. And then did John Wick 2 get a ton of money?
Good
question. I can't remember, because we're not going to talk about sequels, kind of how we mentioned earlier, but John Wick 2, and honestly, John Wick 2, Taken had some, so they all had sequels, but I think John Wick 2 is probably the best sequel out of all of them. Mm. And I don't think John Wick 2 is quite as good as the first, but just this series in general has kind of reformed action movies and how they're made.
Yeah.
Obviously, the long takes is something that everyone knows about nowadays.
Yeah.
And how it's kind of becoming the norm to have longer shots, less cuts.
Yeah.
Which is very nice to see.
Yeah. It did gangbusters. I mean, it was a $40 million budget and got $170 million.
Wow.
So that's very good. Mm-hmm. And yeah, let's talk about the sequels kind of after.
Okay.
But yeah, John Wick, I mean, it's hard to pick out one scene that's,
I think that's we awesome. Could,
the so, club scene.
Yeah.
Is great.
It's pretty iconic. I think that club scene, at least the first time I saw it, I was kind of just like, oh my goodness, you know, because
I think you mean, whoa.
No, because I watched it with you and an uncle Dennis.
Right.
Because it was around Christmas time, I think.
Yeah.
And you're like, hey, let's watch John Wick. I was like, all right, I haven't gotten to watch it yet. So it started out, and the style it was directed in, it was kind of, it was like darker, like it looked dark, like physically. And so when I was watching it, I was a little intrigued of, you know, what's going to happen, just because I've heard a lot from my dad about, hey, you know, this is kind of the best action movie you'll see for a while.
Yeah.
And so I hadn't seen very many Keanu Reeves. In fact, Keanu Reeves movies, this is probably the one that started the whole, hey, let's watch all the canoe movies.
Right.
Because I think we had a summer where last summer we watched a ton of Keanu Reeves movies.
Did we?
We watched Speed. We watched Point Break. Yeah. So when I saw this, that's kind of when I realized why Keanu Reeves is awesome. Mm-hmm. And going back to the scenes that are awesome, the first house scene is pretty extraordinary.
Yeah.
Because, like I mentioned in Taken, it's a lot pretty claustrophobic.
Yeah.
Which, honestly, I love claustrophobic or I love really open.
Yeah.
And so I like both sides of the spectrum quite a bit. Mm-hmm. But the claustrophobic is nice because Uncle Dennis, who commented on the gunplay, says, like, this is actually super realistic to what would what they're trying to do, which is the coolest part, because if you watch the footage of him training, it's terrifying, because he's trained in using so many weapons that it's like, this guy's basically a soldier. and it's just, I mean, it's pretty crazy what he can do. And
well, his work ethic and how his prep for roles is really, really impressive.
I think this is one of his newer roles, but I feel like down the road, this is going to be one of the ones where people are like, that's his stuff.
Yeah. Yeah. Especially because he's 50 years old or over 50 at this point. Yeah. It's very impressive.
Yeah. I think the other thing that we like about this movie is that when you're looking at all the actors, Keanu Reeves is like super cool and such a nice guy.
Right.
Watching him on interviews, it makes you like the movies even more, because you realize that what he's doing is genuine. Mm-hmm. And so that just makes him more, even more awesome.
Well, and I love Ian McShane. And that's the thing I like about John Wick is the kind of world building that it did, which really made it so that the sequel had someplace to go.
Oh, for sure. Yeah.
Because it's not just exactly the same movie. I mean, it is the same movie in that
it adds more, it's
this guy dropping tons of bodies, but there's reasons for it, right? Mm-hmm. You know, they establish. You feel for him. Yeah, you do feel for him because they establish that this is a guy who doesn't want to be in this world anymore, mm-hmm. but he's pulled back into it and. You brought him back in, and now you're in trouble.
The funny thing is everyone makes fun. It's like, oh, he killed a dog. It's just like, okay, but like now everyone understands. You killed the dog. You done messed up. Right.
Well, and it's not about the fact that they killed a dog. Right?
It's what the dog represents. Yeah. Mm-hmm. But I mean, it's become kind of a phenomenon now. It's like if someone – the joke nowadays is like, oh, I'll kill your dog, coming to become John Wick. You know, it's that's just like a thing now.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. All right, so sequels. Let's loop back on them. We haven't actually seen any of the Taken sequels.
And, I don't think
I
need to.
And there's a television series as well. And I'm not interested in that. By its very nature, that movie is a one-off, right? It's this guy going and rescuing his daughter. And after that, I'm like, are you going to contrive more silly things that happen? You know, more kidnapping stuff. It reminded me of early seasons of 24, where like you had like 10 episodes worth of story and you're splitting it out over 24 by having, you know, the family is rescued, the family is kidnapped again, you know.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I don't really care about that. So I haven't sought out any of the sequels, but I don't think they're nearly as well received as the first one.
No, they definitely aren't. I think the most famous thing about the Taken 3 is like the 18 takes over a fence shot. The
cuts, yeah.
And I think that 18 cuts, I think that's like the most. That's the thing I know, because I did a presentation in school once about filmmaking, and that was one of the examples I had. Yeah. And so I haven't seen any of the sequels except for John Wick 2.
Okay. So I did watch Jack Reacher.
You did?
I did. Yeah, I watched it, and it's very bad.
I remember seeing the trailer for that movie, and just like it starts
the
out,
diner
like,
scene.
The phone's going to ring. And yeah. I was like, that's kind of cool. And then that's apparently all that happened in the movies, that one scene, and that was the only cool part.
I don't even remember. It's a very generic movie. It's nothing. It doesn't approach anything of the quality of the original film, which again shouldn't have been good, but was. Mm-hmm. Equalizer 2 is one that's on the list. I would like to see it because that movie was very much establishing a character to make more movies.
That's also a more recent release.
It is,
and so that's something I would definitely be willing to check on Netflix or whatever whenever it comes out there. It might already be on there, but I don't know.
Yeah. And then John Wick 2 is really good.
Yeah. Some argue that it's better than the first.
I might like it better than the first, just on the strength of a couple of the scenes.
Yeah. So
and the fact that there's somebody kind of on his level this time. When you look at the first one, it's a solid revenge kind of movie. But at the end, he ends up just fighting it out with a much older guy, right? Who is not nearly in his league. Where in this one you have Common, and so you actually have
he's awesome.
He's really good. Yeah. And then he's not the actual antagonist. He's just one of them, right?
He was the security guard or like guard for the character he's supposed to kill.
Yeah.
And so he ends up kind of taking revenge.
Yeah.
And so there's a lot of fight scenes
with
him and Common, which I think are great. Yeah. But I think the thing about John Wick 1 to 2 is the body count's bigger, which is crazy to think about.
Yeah.
And two, it's hard to take a movie that already had some interesting ways of filming action and one-upping it. Mm-hmm. And I think it did.
Yeah.
The catacomb scene, yeah. Mm-hmm. And so I think there's always like that one EDM, either club or, you know, music involved scene. Yeah. Those always work for me. And I don't know why, but I love them to death. No matter what movie they are, they're so awesome.
Okay, we should watch Blade. No, we shouldn't.
No, I always love those because it gives you some energy into the scene. Mm-hmm. And so, no, John Wick 2, solid.
Yeah.
But,
yeah. All right. So, is there any need to rank these to say what our favorites are?
I think we all know that we would prefer the John Wick movies, or just if we're doing the first one, first John Wick. After that, I'm going to have to go with Jack Reacher, and then Equalizer, and then Taken.
That is exactly what I had written down for my ranking.
It's not totally that agree. Taken is bad. No. It's just that I think it it conveniently goes about in order of release, a kind of. Well, Jack Reacher is the only one that's not in order, but I think that just the acting and the way it's filmed just kind of gets better as it goes.
Yeah, I feel like it's pretty rewatchable, even though it does feel its length. You know, by the end, I'm like, I'm not sure I really care anymore.
Mm-hmm. So
yeah, I think it's funny that we had the same thing. I mean, like to me, I'm just kind of looking at them in rewatchability.
Yeah,
and like if I had to go watch one of these right now, I'd watch John Wick. Mm-hmm. And Equalizer is good, and I want to see the sequel. Mm-hmm. So
yeah, I think this is nice because this category has a lot of solid movies. There's no up or down.
Yeah, I mean, we could if we really wanted to. You know, we could go back and like watch the original Death Wish with Charles Bronson. We could watch a Chuck Norris movie with him as an older guy. We could watch the new Death Wish with Bruce Willis.
Yeah,
I mean, he's made a lot of movies recently that you could argue are old man action movies as well. I didn't feel like they quite fit the same
mold. He looks older.
And tired.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Maybe we'll have to see Peppermint and do an addendum.
Do the girl in the spider's web.
Hmm.
I don't think that's necessarily an old one, though.
Addendum to this whole thing, Widows. It was kind of billed as like an old man action movie, but where all the old men died and their wives kind of had to take up their job. And that is what happened in it.
It's just not the same as it's marketed.
No. And it's to me, I'm like, it's much better than it was marketed.
Well, I loved the first trailer for it because it did look kind of action heavy. I was okay with that, but it was definitely took a different turn.
Yeah.
But it wasn't like so slight that it was mismarketed.
Yeah.
It was just enough to where it was like, okay, this is completely different. When it tries to like market itself as something and then it's a little bit different, that bothers me.
Yeah.
But when it's completely different, I can kind of get on board with it.
Yeah, yeah. But well, and you knew it had Daniel Kaluuya in it and you love him. So.
I do.
Yeah.
He is my favorite part of this movie. He is terrifying.
He is terrifying in this movie. Yeah.
I mean, I think we can just really quickly go through and I know it's not exactly, it's kind of an old man action movie. If I had to put this, I would put it second behind John Wick. Maybe even ahead. Because the thing I really loved about this movie is that it did things I've never seen in a film.
Yes.
Which.
There's some really interesting directorial choices.
And even though it had like, honestly, like five different storylines going on at the same time, I remembered what was happening in each one because it flowed pretty well.
Yeah.
And the thing is, I've only, whenever I go to see movies with my dad, usually we do try to be a little bit careful about, you know, what we go to. And so
sudden unexpected nudity.
I saw Logan in the theater with him for the first time. That was awesome.
Yeah.
This movie was the other one that we saw in the theater and we're like, whoa, this is kind of epic. Cause they're like, there's some action stuff in there that was R-E.
Yes.
R-E as in rated R.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
And, this movie is definitely the less, I don't know how to say it, the least clean. Out of all.
Yeah, it had sudden unexpected nudity in it.
Yeah.
That we, you know, we hadn't checked the parents' guide yet from IMDb or anything.
Because I just told you I want to go see it because it had some actors in it. And they're like, okay, cool, let's go see it.
Well, the thing that I really like about this movie, and it kind of, in a lot of ways, makes it stand out against all of these old man action movies, is the performances are really, really good.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, this is the movie that actually features acting. Mm-hmm. Not that none of the other ones do. It's just it's more front and center here, where the performances are great.
No, the interesting thing is that, like you said, it was marketed more as an action movie. Mm-hmm. This is a more of a movie where action scenes occur.
Yes.
It's not a action movie. Action movies progress the plot.
Yeah, it's more of a heist movie.
Yeah, and the action scenes are super intense, which I loved.
The other thing that I feel like, though, that Widows has over all these other ones is it's a more deep a kind of thematically deep movie.
Mm-hmm.
It has some things to say about gentrification and stuff. And so it actually gives you more to talk about afterwards. It's not, like you said, not just an action movie. It's actually, it's got something to say.
For sure.
So that's cool. So that was bonus content.
Yeah. Kind of. I forgot about that. I forgot we were going to talk about that. Now I kind of want to go watch it again.
Yeah. Right. Cool.
That's our old man action movie episode. Is that all?
I think that's about it. I mean, we bill this as brief reviews, right? And so I think we can leave it there.
Awesome.
Cool. All right. Well, thanks, everybody, for listening. And you can follow us on Twitter at @BriefNotSoBrief and send us an email, brief@hugospodcast.com. That'd be cool. Or just send us a message on Twitter and let us know you're listening.
Okay.
Thanks, Ethan.
Yep. Thanks, Dad.
All right. Bye, everybody.
Bye.
We're starting to pass my bedtime, you know, old man action movies and whatnot.
Oh, I get it, because it's like old man bedtime sleep.
Yep. All right.